Has the story of your love life taken an unexpected plot twist? Well, this is the podcast that helps millennials rewrite the story of their love life by learning simple strategies for starting and maintaining a healthy relationship. Through candid and unscripted conversations, we provide tools to help navigate the twists and turns of dating and relationships. Are you ready to flip the script on your love life? If so, sit back, get comfortable, and enjoy another episode of the Love Unscripted Podcast. What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Love Unscripted Podcast. I'm your host, Joseph Wilson. And this is the podcast where we have unscripted conversations with millennials about relationships and dating. So I hope everyone is able to get a good start to your week. I know winter is here and in full effect, so hopefully you're able to stay warm. I want to thank everybody, as always, for being a part of this Love Unscripted journey. If you're like me, love has not always gone as planned, but with a little bit of tips, support, and a little bit of prayer and perseverance, we can make it. On this journey, we can find the one for us and we can have a healthy and happy relationship. It is possible. It just may take a little bit of effort. It may take a little bit of adjustments, but it is possible for us. And I want to keep encouraging people to believe that it is possible for them. A lot of times we get down on ourselves based on our past and think that it can't happen. But if you look on social media, as much as there's negativity, there are success stories. So tune in to those things. Be mindful about the information you're taking in and be conscious of what messaging you're allowing to be in your system. If you missed last week's episode, listen, Miss Cassandra was here. We had a great conversation about reciprocity, men expecting reciprocity in their relationships. We had a deep dive into whether or not men should even expect reciprocity. We talked about how society has kind of shaped and tailored men to be kind of emotionless when it comes to relationships and very much so doing as the barometer of what a good man is. So if you missed that, if you want to get some tips for the man in your life, or if you're a brother who just needs to hear that it's okay to expect reciprocity in a relationship, go ahead, pause this episode. I don't mind. Click on that one and join us from there. But this week, I have a really exciting guest. I'm super excited because, like I always say, I like to bring people who have knowledge, who are people that I actually look up to and I am always learning from. So let me go ahead and get them in here. All right. So, sir, please go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey, what's good, man? My name is Aaron Muller, aka the Black Therapist on IG. I am a first and foremost husband and father, therapist and adjunct professor at Adelphi University. And CEO of Modified Wellness, which is my nonprofit, which I do programming around mental health programs and services and all that stuff in the New York City area. Pleasure to be here.
Most definitely. We're glad to have you. And listen, I met this brother when I was in grad school through Facebook. So being an African-American therapist, there aren't too many places where I can go and find other Black male therapists. And I just happened to type it in Facebook. And lo and behold, there was a whole group where there were other Black male therapists. And I was looking, I was like, what? I was like Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory. Like the kids just like, I can't believe all of this exists. And it really helped me. It really helped me to see that I wasn't alone. Because in my graduating class, out of 40-some students, only two of us were Black males.
Right.
So that can be very intimidating, especially when we talk about the world of academia. So I just want to commend you for even having a group like that and supporting in a group like that and even supporting me along my journey. So we're going to go ahead and I have a couple questions for you to get started. So first and foremost, you know, the election time is coming. And they always like to do these, what they call State of the Union, kind of survey the culture of the land. So I just want to hear from your perspective, when it comes to love and romantic relationships, what is the state of the union? So what is a comment or a phrase that you would say describes how relationships and love are going in this day and age?
Oh man, it could go so many different ways with that. You know, I do, you know, believe that there's still a good, you know, beautiful love out there. And I feel that social media is a gift and a curse because of this man against woman conversation that we're having a lot of, and I'm hearing it so much more, and it really grieves my spirit, man. It's just like, it's nobody better than the other, and I'm hearing a lot of competition around who's better, who's bringing more to the table and stuff. So that, I feel like that is really clouding the art and the beauty of love and relationships. And I feel that also social media, people seeing other relationships, right? And kind of, and I think it's great to like look up to and say, you know what, I think that's a beautiful thing. But when you start to compare, that can be a challenge also. And sometimes comparison, you may not be intentionally doing it, but you can do it in such a way, you know, that it's unknown to you, but you're actually comparing and it's causing your own harm, causing you, you know, feeling that you're not measuring up or you can't do those things or why you can't have that love and stuff like that. So I feel like there's a gift and a curse to the state of relationships. I know there's a lot of conversation. I actually I stay away from relationship conversation, honestly. So I kind of more focus on the individual in my work, because I feel like without the individual being well, you can't show up for your partner. So that's kind of been my focus. And that's where, and that's honestly where Black Kings Need Therapy 2 came in, that I trademarked last year. Just recognizing that Black men is important to have those spaces to process their feelings, because when I do a marriage counseling, and I'll say, so who do you talk to? Where do you go? Right? No, I'm not in therapy, right? Or they don't have healthy support networks to have these conversations. So when you're in a relationship, you're only given with what you have, and it may not be full, right? It may not be where you ought to be. So I think it's important that people are doing the individual work to show up in your relationship the best way possible.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. And one of the things that you mentioned, relationship material media is so easily accessible because of social media.
Right.
Now, I believe social media can be a benefit. I'm not the most, I don't know a lot about cars, but because of YouTube, I have been able to fix a lot of things on my vehicle by myself. But I'm not so sure that social media and the internet has really benefited relationships all that much, because of how much is out there, how polarizing some of these conversations can be. And like you said, we're in a state where people are pitted against each other. When we're talking about relationships and love, people are supposed to be trying to get together.
Right, right. And I also believe that, like you said, right, so, you know, you can go on YouTube and find out how to fix your car, right? But it may be a specific model, right? I was putting together my son's keyboard and putting together the stand. I was looking on YouTube. I couldn't find the specific one, but I still had to. It gave me kind of like a general way, but this was the brand that was on YouTube was not the same brand that I had. So I had to find my own way to navigate. So I was able to watch a few pieces of it, but then I had to fix it on my own. So I'm saying all that to say is that it's so many specific parts about relationships and that people have that I'm always mindful about giving out specific tips. I think we can kind of give guidelines and support and resources, but I think everybody's different. So there's no specific one quick fix for relationships and things like that. So it's always important that you seek out individual support that's tailored to you, that the counselor or the therapist can really get to know you guys on a deeper level to really identify what the kind of the what are the treatment recommendations.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So as a married man who doesn't necessarily have to deal with all of the dating and relationship stuff that's going out there, I know marriage is its own thing, But what has surprised you most about how relationships are today?
I don't know if it's changed, but I was telling my wife when I heard about the thing about going to Cheesecake Factory, like that's not acceptable. But I remember like back in the day, I was going on a date, and I think I was choosing something along those lines. I think I was choosing Fridays, and Fridays was lit. And she was like, "Yeah, I don't do Fridays." I was like, "Okay." I was like, "All right, well, that'll be our first and last." And that's exactly what I said, because I'm like, "Yo, you know what I'm saying? Like, we're not gonna be doing all of that." And I wasn't gonna, you know what I'm saying? I think it was the first date, was getting to know each other and things like that. I was in college, you know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't have bread like that. I think we go have a good time and then we go to do something else after. But yeah, that was a turnoff for me, for real. So hold on, let me plug in my laptop. I'm so unprofessional.
Oh, no problem. Listen, it's unscripted. We just flowing. Whatever happens.
Yeah, but you know. Yeah. I was like, yeah, that was a bit of a turnoff for me. I'm like, you don't know somebody's financial situation, you know? So I see that that's still to this day. You know, I do, when I do individual sessions, I do, you know, work with clients and about the ghosting situation, not wanting to seem thirsty. And, you know, it's just interesting is that the art of courting, I think we lost that, right? I don't know if people even know what courting means and wooing somebody, right? So I, you know, I'm an old soul. So when you talk about courting and wooing, that stage is gone. You know what I'm saying? To an extent. I'm not hearing much about that no more. It's really fast paced to get to a specific place, right? And then what happens after that? Then you kind of maybe lose interest and stuff. So I think the art of like really getting to know someone, know somebody's middle name. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, I'm like, yo, what's their middle name? Oh, I don't know.
Great. So let's go ahead and get into this topic that I have you here for today. You mentioned something that I really want to key in on. And you mentioned that skills are needed individually in order to be successful in relationships. And there's one skill that gets overlooked. And as a result, people get trampled over. People just go with the flow. People are shifted as the wind blows when they are not assertive. I want to talk about assertiveness today. So first and foremost, could you explain what is assertiveness as far as interpersonal relationships?
It's the ability to one, advocate for yourself, speak up for yourself, and set boundaries. And assertiveness doesn't mean that you know, I think people kind of equate it with being aggressive, but being assertive does not have to be aggressive at all. You could be assertive and be the most kindest person. But it's really about just being really confident about what, you know, what your standards are, what you believe in, and, you know, your values.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned aggressiveness. That's what people often hear when you say assertive. So what's the difference? Like, what's the key difference? Because both of them are moving in a very intentional direction. So what's the difference between aggression and being assertive?
I mean, and you know what? Some people can use it probably simultaneously. So then you can't, you know, see the difference between the other, because I consider myself assertive in my career. Right. I was very intentional about the things that I wanted to do. I was very intentional about the path that I said I'm going to take. Right. So I said, you know, while I was in grad school, I said, you know what? I said, I really want to be a pillar in the community around mental health, because being the only Black male in my class, I said, you know what? I don't see many who look like me. I said, I feel like I need to use this opportunity to speak to people about, you know, the importance of mental health. So I said, you know what? I'm going to be on TV. I said, I'm going to be on radio. I said, I'm going to really show the people in my community that mental health is important. And I was assertive in my path. So that means reaching out, connecting to people, opportunities, right? If somebody, you know, connect me to someone, assertiveness in this is what I would like to do. Like, hey, how can I support you? So I was very assertive with that, right? Now, aggression now is coming more with hostility, anger, you know what I'm saying? You know, really, that might be pleasant, right? So that's, you know, that's kind of agitation and aggression and things like that. When people are faced with aggression, you tend to respond a little bit different than with assertiveness.
Mm-hmm. And it's under control. Being assertive, you're in control of moving forward in a very intentional way.
Right.
But there are a lot of people, based on their family of origin, were not allowed to be assertive. So what do you think could, when we're thinking about like the family growing up and people weren't allowed to be assertive and people are fearful of that, what would you say they could do to build up their confidence to the point where they could be assertive?
Well, one, it's how they internalize it, right? So they may have experienced aggression, right? They may have experienced aggression and find that that is how you handle things, right? As opposed to being assertive. So not really knowing that you can do one without the, you know, that you can be assertive and not be aggressive. So most, you know, people look like us, right? That's what we may be accustomed to, right? That this is how you survive, right? You got it, you know, it's by any means necessary, right? Whereas assertiveness is that you can dictate what you want, but you're still kind to others, right? Mm. So is that kindness piece, is that respecting other people's opinions, right? It's not like you're wrong, I'm right. No, it's, you know, we could agree to disagree, right? Mm. I can respect your opinion, but I'm standing on mine. Right. And that's the difference. So it's really working through how can I work through that the way that I was conditioned to think. And I can think another way. Right. I can kind of reform my old way of thinking. So it's OK that we don't agree. It doesn't mean that we're fighting. Right. It's just if we both don't want yellow rice, it's not a reason for me to go up here. But there's options. And sometimes a couples comes and I say, a couples counselor, I can say, you know what? How about y'all put on two pots of rice? Right? Like there could be a solution to that. But it's like, nah, this is how it's got to be. No, it's okay. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's just like calming down the brain, calming down the way that we think that it has to be this very black and white. And not every situation is like that. But mm-hmm. it's really restructuring how we think.
Right, right. And I hear a lot of people out there actually want to be assertive. They see right. They see the benefits. They see how it gets other people to where they may want to be. But what would you say are some of the obstacles that stand in people's way of actually being assertive?
Environment, right? It could be environment. It could be the way that they conditioned growing up. It could be a self-confidence thing, right? If you don't have the confidence, right? If you weren't nurtured or watered during your development, right? So that affects your self-development. I mean, your confidence, right? So it's like, how do you feel about yourself? To assert yourself, you're using I statements, expressing your feelings, right? And it's also a skill of active listening. So it's not just even about the confidence piece, it's your ability to listen. So being assertive is, and I feel like is a give and a take, because you want people, you also, it's like a captivating type thing, right? As opposed to aggression, it's nah, this is what I want. Nah, being assertive is like, wow, did I just agree to give you $1,000? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like you's like, nah, you's like, nah. There's people that are assertive that are on boards and they can get money. They can get money for organizations, right? They're just captivating. They're listening. They're engaging, right? Their body language, right, shows the interested that in what you're saying, right? Is they maintain an eye contact. Like, this is a skill to being assertive.
Mm-hmm. It very much is a skill. I will say that. I can recall many times where I thought that, hey, Let me be assertive in this group project. Hey, let me be more assertive at the job. And it did not go well. I ended up embarrassed. I looked like I was trying to do too much. I just felt bad about it. So what would you say to someone who is actually trying to be assertive and it doesn't go well? Like, what do you tell somebody at that point?
Well, I think it's important to self-reflect, right, on your assertiveness, identify situations where you could have been more assertive or less assertive, right? And really kind of think, and even get feedback from people like, how did I show up in this project? Or, you know, what was your impression of me, right, in that situation? I think it's important to get the feedback if that's something that you constantly want to work on. Putting yourself in situations where you have to be assertive, right? So if we want to do it, it's not just going to show up right at your feet, right? It's like you have to put yourself in situations. So it's kind of think about what's something that you would like to do, right? What's one accomplishment or one goal you would like to get to? So if it's like, you know what, I want to be able to get to NBC Studios, for example, right? So you need to think about, map out, what do I need to do to get there? And even engage in scenarios to simulate that, right? Mm-hmm. Assertive conversations and practicing different responses. So if it means reaching out to, you know, the secretary of the, of NBC Studios, the president, right? Reach out to the secretary, like doing the research. A part of assertiveness is actually research, right? So what do you need to do to get there? So it's not just getting to the goal, but it's steps to get there, right? And even when it's not going the way you want it to go, going back to the drawing board and trying it out again, right? It's going to be uncomfortable, right? It's going to take practice, especially if it's not part of your skill set, right? So it's just like if you never played ball before and you're practicing, you ain't going to do great. But you got to keep on practicing, you know what I'm saying, until you get better. And I also believe in visualization. So positive imagery and visualization. Visualize how you want to sound. Visualize what you want to say. Write it out if you need to. It's an ongoing thing. It's not going to be just one time that you hit it, right? It's going to be that I could have did better or I feel silly, right? So there's going to be a lot of negative voices. So really working through those voices too and giving yourself grace as you are working on this new phase of your life.
Mm-hmm. And it definitely takes practice. Like with any skill, you can't really fake it till you make it. I mean, you could try to go through the motions, but it's not authentic. And I think other people can detect it and sense it and they act accordingly. Right. So, I think the more we practice being assertive, the more that we're visualizing what that looks like, the more it can actually become part of who we are and not just what we do. And so when we look at romantic relationships, why might it be helpful to have the tool of assertiveness in our tool bag?
Well, I think it's an important one. It's just to keep like your boundaries, right? But again, I think doses of it, right? So assertiveness is good in specific situations and you need it in your relationships. You need it at work, right? You need it with friendships, right? Assertiveness, right? Because nobody wants to be kind of rolled over or whatever like that. But I think it's important for people to feel, you know, confident in themselves, right? Because it's going to show up in your relationship if you're not confident, right? It may show up in jealousy, may show up in a variety of ways, not having that assertiveness. So I feel like a healthy dose is important. Again, I think us as people are learning and have to continue to learn the fine line between assertiveness and aggressiveness. So this you cannot have like blinders on, because if you shift that needle a little bit too over, now you go into an aggressiveness category, right? And that can pose challenges in relationships too, because some people may meet aggression with aggression. So now there's no, you know, there's no boundaries, there's no healthy communication. Now it's like, now we're at each other. right? And we see that a lot oftentimes when couples come to counseling. Yeah, they're at that point, right? So it's not, it's no longer sort of, or here's the thing. They may have, you know, I really like their go-getter. I like that they know what they want. So I would hear that a lot too, right? So I would hear like, that's what really got me to enjoy being with them. But then, like, again, like I said, that needle shifts where it's no longer assertiveness and it becomes aggressiveness. So it's something that you constantly have to be mindful of. Because, yeah, it could be an issue. It could definitely be an issue. Got to be mindful.
Yeah. And when it comes to relationships, because you have the feels, because you enjoy someone's company and their presence, some people don't speak up for themselves in fear of losing the person, in fear of causing some type of conflict, in fear of a multitude of things. And I think that assertiveness is one of those skills that you need whether you're in a relationship or not, but it's if you don't have it, it's even more magnified in relationships, because what it looks like is you start doing everything that the other person wants and there are no boundaries, like you said. Mm-hmm. There are no boundaries. People are now doing things in their relationship that they really don't want to do, or there's an opportunity for them to say something, but because they haven't for so long, their voice isn't there.
Right.
Like they may be asked, hey, what is it you want to do for this date night? But if you are so cautious, scared, worried, or maybe not even practice saying, I want to go here, mm-hmm. you're going to revert back to what you've always done.
Right.
And could you imagine what the relationship is like if someone is just going along, the yes man, the yes woman? That becomes annoying.
It does. And then after a while, it is going to take a toll, right? So, you know, you brought up a good point. Being able to say, I think it would be a great idea. And having that mutuality, you know, you don't want to lose your sense of self. You don't want to lose a sense of individuality. And I feel like that's often the catalyst to challenges in a relationship when you lose that. So it's important to be able to express your needs and your opinions. Again, respecting the other person. So when in couples counseling, we kind of have to bring them back and have to kind of reintroduce those skills, reintroduce how that, okay, you share your thought and I share mine. And, you know, I'm a school social worker. So when we are talking about group norms and group rules and stuff, we would say, do not yuck someone's yum. Right. Mm. Right. So if I like anchovies on my pizza, right, if I go around the room and I'm like, they're like, what kind of pizza you like? And I say, I like pizza with anchovies. You don't want to hear, ew, you know how y'all kids do, right? So do not yuck someone's yum. We can engage in dialogue, have difference of opinions. Nah, that's stupid. Why you want to do that? What does that do to someone, right? And here's the thing, that we were talking about that. I'm just saying how I feel. That's who I am. Uh-uh. Nah, cut that. Right. I know that's a big thing also. That's a big thing that, right, that like people pride themselves on saying, that's who I am. That's great, right? That's who you are. But how do people internalize that?
Man, and you said, I like that, don't yuck somebody's yum. And if we're not careful, our assertiveness can turn into arrogance.
All of that, right.
Arrogance, thinking that
aggression, right.
Right. Thinking that my way is the best and better way. But right. If we're talking about relationship where we have another person that we are trying to do life with, it cannot be my way or the highway all the time.
It cannot. You know, and, you know, I told, you know, when my wife and I first got together, you know, when we were engaged at that point, you know, we both had different lives. You know, she was living in another state and everything, and we merged lives together. And she said she always remember, I would tell her that, I said, there's more than one way to skin a cat, right? So I may have an idea, she have an idea, and she was like, well, why we? And I said, well, there's more than one way to skin. And so she's adapted that now. You know what I'm saying? I said, there's more than one avenue. There's more than one way to get a job done. right? So it's, again, like, everybody's coming with their stuff. Everybody's coming, you know, social worker in me, I'm looking at person and environment, right? So I'm looking at your environment, right? I'm looking at, you know, every aspect. So there's certain things that you grew up in your environment. There's certain thing that's biological that you just respond that way, right? So recognizing all of that, is still, we have a duty to, if we're going to be in relationships, that we're mindful about how we show up for ourselves and then show up for others. And I always ask people, the way that things are going, how's it working for you, right?
Exactly.
How is it going good? If not, then keep it pushing, right? Keep going in direction. If not, then you need to really reflect on what modifications or shifts you need to make.
Mm-hmm. And I want to also encourage people, when you think about assertiveness, yes, it's individual, but the collect, like, the unit can also be assertive. What would happen if both individuals in the relationship were assertive towards a goal that progressed the family?
No, but I talk about that too, right? That could really, like, you'd be a powerhouse, right? Really utilizing those skills to get to the next level, whether it be, you know, property searching or looking for a place, or, you know what I'm saying, paying off debt, right? Like, really utilizing those skills towards a common goal. And, you know, and it's interesting because one person may have a little bit more of a skill in a certain area, right? Someone may be stronger financially, right? Someone may be stronger in terms of conceptualizing things. And it's okay, right? How do you navigate that? Saying, like, you know what, I like your idea, or like, hey, have you thought about this? Right. I think this is a good idea. What are your thoughts about if we, you know, do this, put our money together, chop off this debt? Right. Tell me, you know, utilizing your skill set, utilizing the assertiveness is like, this is what worked for me. What are your thoughts about that? Utilizing those skills, bringing it to the relationship to take it to the next level.
Mm-hmm. And I just want everyone who's listening to properly use assertiveness. I'm of the belief that selfishness kills relationships. It does. But selfishness is also kind of like the healthy bacteria we have in our mouth. When you have selfishness in the correct standpoint, as far as, I believe, especially if you're in a relationship, if you're married, you should be selfish with your personalized, individualized time. Right. That's healthy for you.
That's saying that this is preservation. Again, too much of anything is not good. So, right. And is that awareness, having that mirror up? I tell my clients all the time, you don't have a mirror up to your face to see how your face, your body language, you know what I'm saying? How do you present? So building that awareness, am I being too selfish right now? Let me kind of do a little check right here. Let me put a thermometer. Let me see how am I showing up? Right. And it's a constant thing that, to be self-aware. And it could be exhausting, bro. And I think oftentimes people just can't be bothered. So you may not have the skill, or maybe you did at one point and now you're exhausted from it because you may have been in a relationship where you had that awareness, you had that ability, and it wasn't honored. The person didn't have the skill set also. So now here you are being self-aware and it's not being reciprocated. So now you say, you know what? All bets is off. I ain't doing it no more. Everybody's going to pay for the wrath of this situation. And I'm not being self-aware no more. It's about me. It's about what I want to do. And you hopping on my train or not. And again, that's coming from a place of self-preservation. That's coming from, I've been hurt, right? So you may not have gotten the healthy ways and then tools to work through it, right? And work through the healing process to say, you know what? I can't do that to another person. I can't show up that way. What's the healthiest way for me to do that? And articulate that and say, you know what? I showed up authentically and I was really, you know, really self-aware and really tried to give my all to this relationship and it wasn't reciprocated. So that's something I need to work on so that, because it's not fair to you to show up that way. It is not fair to myself, right? Mm-hmm. That's next level. That's next level. So again, if we on podcast, right, with, you know, I'm showing up. I'm the best. I'm bringing this. We ain't going to Cheesecake Factory. I'm all of that. You know, you know what I'm saying? You got to get on my train. It's a lot.
Listen, I felt heavy just hearing you say that.
It's like, ooh. That's a lot of, that's heavy.
Yo, we're using assertiveness sometimes for the wrong thing. Like for the wrong reasons, because of hurt, because of past pain. And because of that, I'm a major family therapist. I'm in systems. Like I look at patterns. Right. You put yourself in a cycle that can be never ending. People, I've counseled people and they're in like 15 year cycles that they've just repeated. I was like, do you see this going on? But because of past pain and hurt, I've decided to act a certain way. I've decided to take control of this situation, but it's in a way that's not going to bring about healthy relationships, reciprocity, and it's really not really what they want. It's just, let me see what I can get for right now, right, until I can get what it is I really want.
Right.
And that that leads people down a path of failed relationship after failed relationship, heartbreak after heartbreak, and you start to lose a little bit of yourself because in that cycle, we're not doing much self-reflecting.
Not at all.
Self-awareness goes down and we start to over-prioritize the I rather than thinking, if I want to be in a relationship, at some point, there's going to need to be a we kind of mentality.
Yeah, yeah. And then again, it becomes kind of like the other people's to blame, right? They not about it. They not with it. Ain't no good people out here. And it's like, we really have to really look from the whole perspective is, how am I showing up? Right. So, you know, there's a lot of work. There's a lot of work to do. I just concern also about, I think when people can hear a similar story, right, to their situation, and we all have, you know, free agency to share whatever we want on social media, but because now it's so many voices. So I have to repeat that again. So many voices that it's like, I'm going to kind of, I can align with someone else's trauma, and it's validated. Right. So it's validated. Like, yeah, that's how you're supposed to do. That's how you treat them. Yeah. That's how you get. And it's like, yeah, you see them right. And it's not, may not go towards the healthy voice, right? So it may be someone that, you know, may have done 15 years of work in this field, right? That's really could come from a place of, no, this is what it looks like. This is what healthy healing looks like. And this is an ongoing journey. And they may hear what someone's just sharing their story, which you have the right to do, but it may not have the practical and the clinical components to it that's needed to help that person work through it. So it's just more of a validation thing, right? Like, yeah, that's why I did that. They ain't no good. And that's why I'm gonna continue on my thug journey.
the City Boys, Hot Girl Summers. They gonna keep doing it.
And listen, and I think, like, you know, I am not, if that's your, that's the mode that you're in, right? I'm a big believer of free agency. And do what you want to do, but it's going to be consequences for everything.
Yep. Some consequences are going to stick around longer than others.
Right. And right. So there's good, and it's good and bad consequences, right? Or maybe in between. But what do you want? Right? Mm-hmm. Like, really honestly, be honest with yourself about what are you looking for?
Mm-hmm. So we're going to go ahead and transition into this last segment of our show. I'd love to have you on longer, but I know the people are probably at their destination. They be driving while they listening to the podcast. So let's go ahead and wrap this up and head on over to Flip the Script. And that is the segment of the show where our guest provides a simple tool or strategy to deal with a challenge that we may have discussed in the episode. So you ready for your question?
Let's go.
So someone may be listening and they may be thinking, yo, I have a very difficult time even starting to be assertive. So what are some practical tips or strategies people can use to start the process of becoming more assertive in their life?
So one thing I want to have everybody, and I'm, you know, try to give a little tip, is what's one thing in your life that you would like to work on or improve or become more assertive in that? Right. What's that? I want everybody to think about, what's that one thing? Right. What's that one area that you want to improve on? Right. So once you think about that, is, if it's with a person, if it's your own journey, is kind of map out what is it that you would like to change. Change, improve, whatever it is, see different. So it's an intentional thing, right? So it, I believe it's important to first write it out, because now you need accountability, because again, this is something new. Because you're going to have to go back, right? You have to go back to it repeatedly. So think about, what is it that you want to do? You know, what is it that you want to change? Write it out. And think of one person or two that can hold you accountable, that you feel comfortable sharing it with, that, hey, this is what I want to do. So I want to ask for a raise, right? Or, you know, whatever it is, who's that one or two people that you feel comfortable with sharing this thing, this goal that you like to work on, and that can hold you accountable in this space?
And there you have it. Aaron, thank you for joining us this week.
Yes, pleasure being here, man. Appreciate it. Being here, we finally made it happen. Great topic. I feel like there's so many different avenues that you could go with this. I know people may have other, you know, comments that want to chime in, but this is definitely a ongoing conversation about assertiveness. You know, it's definitely something that starts from within, you know, and I think we can support, and again, like I said, that accountability. People can kind of help and support you in working on that assertiveness. Also, like, you know, I would like to be, you know, you say, I want to work on my assertiveness in terms of this specific thing, or maybe different areas of your life. But it's important to have that support, that because people need it. I think it's important to kind of have a mirror, kind of see, like, how did I show up? You know what I'm saying? And to have that check in in that new journey of your life. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really big on community support. Yeah, numbers, not just isolation, not you just trying to grit and bear through the process, but get support. So please let everybody know where they can find you on the internet and social media.
All right, yeah. So majority of my work that I do around, you know, just tips and suggestions is on Instagram, the black_therapist, and in New York, I come on every Friday at 6:20 a.m. on 94.7 The Block, which is our number one station for throwbacks in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. And there's a mental health moment that I do every Friday at 6:20 a.m. So I drop little gems every Friday on the radio.
I love it. Throwback joints. Yes. So thank everybody.
Hold on one more. And I'm on the Jamal Bates Morning Show, which comes on in Virginia and Florida. And I do Man Mondays on there too. So that's specifically the men. So, I, you know, drop little gems for everybody.
Most definitely. I'll put all of his information down in the show notes. So please don't go trying to click it right now while you're listening and you're driving. I'm not helping you with your deductible. Please head on over to iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher Podcast, comment, rate, subscribe. If you're in podcast land, go ahead and head on over to YouTube at Love Unscripted HD, where you can see the full video for this episode. And I just want to thank everybody for joining us this week. Listen, we're still on the journey. And as we always say, we may not have all the answers, but we will have the conversation. I'll see y'all next time. Peace.